Besser's wide open. Gets the puck. Tours.
That's the only reason I do these podcasts, is so I can hear all those amazing things about myself. So thanks for having me, and now I'm signing off.
I am honored, thrilled. This is one of the greatest achievements of my life.
I showered and I combed my hair for you.
Well, we appreciate that.
Hey, everybody, it's the PP1 podcast. We're going to do a post-game podcast, I guess you could say it. Brady and Ted are both here with me. This is Ryan. Let's go around the horn quickly. Ted, what's up? How are you doing?
Man, it was I'm doing good. It was tough. I watched game one in like a fly tent, like a fly bug tent while I was camping, listening to the radio in the pitch black. So at home, with a beer in hand, watching a Canucks win was a definite improvement. So this one was really fun to watch, and it was fun to get on Twitter and sort of participate in the combos a little bit.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Brady, how did you watch game one, and how jacked are you for after the win from game two?
Oh, man. Game one, I watched sitting at home on my couch all day long. And, you know, lost that one, which was a bit of a struggle. But, you know, we bounced back tonight. A lot of energy in the house. I had a couple friends over, and... 4-3 victory. They hung on there, and you know, it's just good to see the Canucks back in some playoff hockey. It really is.
Oh, I definitely agree. Sure. I agree.
And Ryan, you didn't watch the game in a completely normal way while you were up in PG either, were you?
This feels like bragging, but we were up at the lake up there, and great time. Thankfully, the Canucks decided to play at 7:30 and not earlier. Otherwise, that really would have screwed up my day. But yeah, I watched it on what felt like 5G Wi-Fi. Every other time I've been there, but apparently streaming a 3-hour hockey game isn't the greatest when you're on a wireless internet, not a network. So 75% of the game, it was fine. The other 25%, I was waiting to see what was going to happen both on the ice and on the computer because it was spotty. But game two, I was on my own couch with my big TV and my high def and watching those boys win.
How were the bugs up in PG? That's the one of the first times I've heard somebody bragging about being in Prince George, by the way.
But you'll hear it from me every time.
Yeah, you had some good picks up there. It looks like you had a decent spot in the lake too.
Oh, it's like I said, everyone hears Prince George, but this place, like, you're on the lake, you're one with wilderness. We kayaked and we boated, and it was like 26 degrees outside. It was wicked. And there was a Canucks game. And then after they lost, I'm like, hey, screw this. Grabbed a beer, went to the campfire, one of those cheddar smokies at the fire. Ended the night good anyway. So, but yes, the mosquitoes, they weren't as bad. In July, they're the worst. They are the worst. I fared okay. Got a couple on my ear and stuff, which sucks. Christine, my wife, she didn't fare so well. So I came almost unscathed, and apparently they knew she was going to be there, so it wasn't so much fun
out,
for her.
Out one with nature.
Exactly.
It's pretty neat.
It was all good. So, but let's talk about...
it's a fir tree because of the way it is.
Oh, jeez. I love it. I love it. People don't forget. So
people don't forget.
People don't forget. So, Brady, you've got the biggest smile, and let's start with you. What was give me your 60-second recap of the Canucks game.
Oh, man, 60 seconds. I don't know. That's pretty quick. Well, coming into the game, I figured the Canucks had to fire on all cylinders, and they totally did. And I'm happy to see a couple line changes. They weren't exactly the ones I would have made personally, but they were very effective. I mean, Louis Eriksson led all forwards in 5-on-5 ice time. He actually put up more than 20 minutes tonight.
Wow.
But yeah, I just loved the energy from the top six. Like putting the Lotto line back together was exactly what they needed. It would have nice to seen all three of them score. Petey couldn't, but you know, Brock Besser scored, JT Miller scored, Horvat had a nice goal. It was an all around good game by our core players.
Ted, what were your 2 cents on this one?
Well, there was a lot. I mean, I think a lot happened in this game. There's a bunch of for narratives for the next couple of days for the Twitter world. But if we had to just say it in like a nutshell, I mean, Ferland, we're going to talk about Ferland at some point. Penalties, quick start from Pedersen, Virtanen, and Louis draw in. Gaudette and Toffoli out, so Toffoli in a walking boot was spotted. I mean, Brock scored, just like Brady said. Miller scored a couple of big block shots, like some really gritty veteran plays that were happening in there. I was really happy with the Virtanen return from everything that he was doing, both from an effort standpoint defensively and offensively. Some classic Louis stuff, including a stick break and all those minutes logged, like Brady said. But not just that, there's stuff that happened outside of hockey. Obviously, the Dumba fist up was really cool to watch, and it was neat to see the power play get going. Markey's first win, some first points by Hughes. So lots for us to talk about in this one, and including you know, icing on the top, which turned out to be a big win and what looked like possibly a shaky finish, even though that's not really what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my 2 cents on this whole game was it really felt like they were going to not run away with this one, but it really felt like they had kind of figured out that they needed to be better. It was definitely a game that they had to answer, and I think they did, but in typical Canucks fashion, as we all know, is it's not over until that final buzzer goes, and it almost went to overtime, and that would have we may not be sitting here right now, and I'm you serious, like, though, it like, almost happened.
As much as we wouldn't want to see overtime in that particular game, like, I'm a little disappointed that it's only going to be a 5-game series, because this is feisty and it's sure fun to watch. I mean, both teams just want it so bad. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I haven't had playoff hockey in like 5 years as a Canucks fan, but I'm just loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
I don't want to see the Wild for more than 5 games.
Yeah, game one, I felt like everybody was in their rocking chairs and nobody could stay awake. I mean, I was having a hard time listening to it, let alone trying to interpret what was going on. But this game was in danger of being bogged down, I feel like, with the amount of penalties that were going on. I mean, we scored on that opening shot by Pearson, and it was a beauty shot.
It was.
Possibly absolutely a bit of a theme there, going high glove side on Stalock, because Miller scored, you know, almost an identical spot a little earlier, a little later in the game too. So, but yeah, the game was in danger of being bogged down by calls, you know, some good ones and some bad ones, I thought. But from a flow standpoint, it was no Brock Besser flow. It was bogged down a little bit tough to watch. But once the game got moving, I feel like the Vancouver Canucks began to find their game a little bit, especially with all those power play opportunities that it seemed like the Wild had in game one. And then I feel like because of all those power play opportunities, it gave us a little bit of time to gave them a little bit of time to work out some of those kinks that they seem to be having problems with, including getting scored on, you know, shorthanded too, right? So, but towards the end of the game, tons of control there, tons of puck possession. You know, Petey drew a penalty, and that power play looked dangerous, even though it may not have been scoring, you know, on every opportunity. It was starting to look like, hey, maybe this isn't the team that you want to take penalties against.
That power play, Ted, I tagged you in that one tweet tonight during the game. Like, it looked so complacent. It looked exactly like we had been seeing for that second half of the season. And it drove me crazy. I was just practically yelling at the screen, thinking like, you guys, something is about to happen. You're going to screw this. And then they had that shorty. But then they rebounded and they continued to get chances, which is unlike the Canucks to get that many power plays in a game that I'm surprised they called as many penalties as they did, considering it felt like the series was probably just going to go, you know, whistles get, you know, put away. And they seemed to call a lot of stuff. Some of the, you know, kind of the chintzy stuff I didn't really like. There's some stuff that's in there. The one thing I really don't like is how these sticks break so easily. Like, it's ridiculous. Some of these penalties are like, you know what? They've got sticks that are going to blow up. you can't call a penalty on all of them, Brady.
Okay, but that stick breaking for Louis Erickson, come on, that was like the most Louis Erickson thing that could possibly happen. I mean, I tweeted that out as soon as it happened. I mean, it's just blowing up. Like,
someone
memes already.
Man. I was gonna say someone has to.
Oh my god! But like, I mean, Louis Erickson, man, like he had a good game. Like, I was happy he was playing, and I'm excited to see him in game three, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan and I talked, I think, just prior to game one. You weren't there for that one, Brady, but we talked about possible lineup sets and how we get a guy like Virtanen back in the lineup and how a guy like Louis Erickson makes his way back into the lineup. And I think I called, you know, the possibility of Sutter coming out and that Gaudette was a guy who might move away from this lineup in favor of a player like Erickson or Virtanen. So, you know, I was right. I'll toot my own horn a little bit about calling the Gaudette out and Virtanen in, but I did not see Louis Erickson coming in favor of an injured Tyler Toffoli. So it hurts a little bit to see, you know, our big playoff run, trade deadline acquisition, you know, top six forward not play as part of this game. And so, you know, that if he's not playing in this game, that he's hurt, that there's some actual issues going on there, because, you know, a hobbled Tyler Toffoli is still better than some of the other options that are going to get into this lineup in favor of him. So it sort of sucks to see him miss this game, but I would be curious to know what the time frame is for his injury. And unfortunately for playoff diagnosis, we don't always get that information.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about how the playoffs work. But I think at the end of the day, it's so typical of the Canucks. Whenever they need a guy to get in the lineup, or in this case, two, you know, there's always this, I'm not going to say magical, but there always seems to be this random injury that just allows the players we need to see come back in. And this was no different. I think we all wanted to see Jake back in, and I can't believe we were all saying, too, that Louis should probably be back in, more so because this was going to be a special team series. Tonight was a prime example that it's going to be a special team series. So I can't see Louis leaving the lineup unless, you know, he just plays an absolutely atrocious game. And I thought Jake had a really good game, too. He wasn't exactly one of the greatest players, but he definitely had flashes of brilliance. He hustled on some of those back checks, and, you know, he played some great defense. Brady?
Yeah, I mean, you were just talking about how it was kind of similar to earlier this year, and I mean, it was pretty much exactly the same. Sorry, guys. You guys hearing that?
Yep, you're good.
And it was pretty much the same at the beginning of the year. I mean, pretty much identical. Like, Ferland came along and got hurt, and then Jake jumped in. It was pretty much the same with Gaudette, if I'm not mistaken. He had to earn that center spot. So pretty much identical, like you're saying.
It's weird that Gaudette, I mean, I know he didn't have a phenomenal game in game one, but it does feel like one of those random calls to see him actually sit when he really hasn't sat like all season.
Yeah, wasn't it actually Ted that I think Ted tweeted out earlier today about how he thought Gaudette maybe not be a third line centerman and he's not ready for that in the playoffs. Can you elaborate on that, Ted?
Yeah, and I think we've talked to a fair share about this during the regular season, and we were all kind of enamored with Gaudette's offensive ability, right? And how that might have been inflated somewhat by his shooting percentage, but he's been a really decent offensive find for the Canucks, and especially the position he was drafted at. But I think he still struggles from the standpoint of, you know, something as simple as winning faceoff and getting puck possession, and you have to be able to throw your third line out there with their heads above water in the defensive zone to win a draw and get possession and break it up ice to give your two offensive lines an opportunity in the offensive zone, right? So to me, I think just Gaudette is a little bit miscast in that role. He's not that guy. He's probably a guy who can play with players in your top six, probably even on the wing, right? I mean, but he's not the guy who you're going to ask to go out there and lock down Kevin Fiala's line and play against a Zach Parise, because that's just not his game, right? His game isn't predicated on two-way play. And that may come at some point. And I think, you know, one of our listeners tweeted out the fact that, you know, he probably should have spent another full season in Utica learning the defensive side of the game, but his offense was good enough for him to be up here. So he's going to learn that, the defensive side of the game, I think, and the consistency that it takes to be a third line center or higher. But it probably just isn't right now, right? This might be is not the best spot for him to be coming out as a third line center. All that being said, you know, I like Adam Gaudette, and I don't think his time in the series is done yet. But from the standpoint of having Jake Virtanen in place of and shifting over, you know, another natural center in either Sutter or Beagle into another center spot probably makes more sense from a defensive point of view for what this Canuck team needs right now.
So just checking the post game here, Travis Green said that both Toffoli and Gaudette were unfit to play. We've all heard so far that Toffoli was in a walking boot, so his was legit. Who knows what Gaudette would have been. Who knew? Maybe it's a legit injury. I would have to go back and see if there's any highlights that would, you know, suggest that. But I can't imagine they would just sit him and just say unfit to play. Like, that doesn't seem like that would be part of their line, Ted.
Yeah, and I think Louis DeBrusque actually said this during the broadcast. Like, hey, what a bonus that is to have a 23-goal scorer in Tyler Toffoli exit your lineup and to be able to insert an 18-goal scorer in Jake Virtanen. So there's some options on this squad, and the squad hasn't had options like that in a long time. So the fact that we're talking about, you know, we were talking about the fact that Jake Virtanen is a healthy scratch on this roster. I mean, you would think that scoring 18 goals and being a pretty trusted player throughout the year would be give you some sort of a leg up or some sort of a leeway, but that's not the way Green plays him. He seems to know how to handle him. He came back with a fire under his ass in this game, and I, you know, maybe you guys would disagree, but hard and heavy on the back check, not afraid to shoot the puck. It looks like he was controlling the play well, and when he was just about to be goaded into a penalty, he turned around and skated the other direction. So a little bit of growth there, and I've always said that Jake is the type of player who I think can thrive in a playoff environment. And so we'll see what happens the rest of the way down the stretch, because it sounds like he's going to get some more playing time.
Brady?
Yeah, it's nice to see Virtanen in the lineup. I mean, it's not exactly the way we wanted him to get in, but we know he's going to be in the lineup down the road now. You know, Toffoli out, and now Ferland probably, and maybe even Roussel. So he's going to get the playing time one way or another. So
let's talk about
good to Ferland. See it. I hope he gets more than 8 minutes next game.
Yeah. Let's talk about Michael Ferland. So I think he finished the first period. He had, I think, a shift with about 3 minutes left in the first period or 2 minutes, something like that. But as far as I know, he didn't play the rest of the game. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
I was just saying he played just over 2 minutes. I think he played a couple shifts. I think he could just kind of quietly snuck off, you know, into the dressing room. So that's not good news. No. Especially after he came out like so hot in game one, like it was so great to see. I mean, at first I was a little hesitant when he dropped the gloves, but he looked great and he played the rest of the game really good. And we needed that energy. So real tough loss. I'm just sitting here waiting to see the post game. Hopefully it's not concussion related, but I just don't want to hear is like unfit to play. Like if it's not concussion, it'd be nice to say, have some clarification on that.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I think if it is concussion related, I think they have to be very open about what happens, because I mean it's such a touchy subject, especially with him, and to see him finally come back and all signs point that he's ready to go, gets through that full training camp, gets through the exhibition game, looked, you know, pretty decent, gets through obviously as a tilt. Things were really going Michael Ferland's way, and I think we were all excited to see. I mean, he didn't have a great game in game one, but I think just like everything, the whole team needed to step up. That was evident, and it was going to look like that he was hopefully going to get his chance to get some retribution for his lack of play in game one, and then it just kind of fizzled out, and everybody was thinking the same thing. So, you know, hopefully he is okay, and like we've said so many times, it's not even about hockey at that point. You hope the guy that, you know, he's able to continue. And I would hate to see that, you know, something bad happens that he's got to call it quits on this. So we'll see. I guess we'll know hopefully in the next day or so.
Yeah, I'm not a pro athlete. That's obvious to everyone, but I've had a bad concussion before, and I know what it does to the inside of your head, and I just for the life of me can't understand how how you could recover so quickly from something that I went through, and it wasn't even that bad probably on the scale of things, right? And for him to play and then come back and then have a tilt and then go out again and then to play and then come back and then get hit and then go out again, and now we're into it again, right? And I mean, to me, every time that happens, it's not the same concussion. It's continued trauma on the head.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a good scenario that plays out in all of those injuries. So you're right, Brady. If this comes back again and it's a concussion, Ryan, you too. Man, I mean, I think we've said this many times before, or at least I have, that my initial inclination would have been to just shut it down for the year and see how you feel next year. So all of this coming back too early thing, whether you feel good or not, you're just never good until you get that crack, right? Well, so we're hoping, obviously, yeah, that it's not concussion related. Maybe he's just got a stinger or something like that. That'd be nice. But I would hate to hear that news if that's what's going on.
Well, that's just the crazy thing about it too, right, Ted, is the fact that you say, like, wait till next season to play. But, like, everybody had 5 months off, plus the time before that to get ready. I mean, that's a long time. Like,
it doesn't matter, though. It really doesn't. It takes a long time for your body to recover from trauma like that. And I'm not trying to interrupt you, but it's different than healing an injury like a muscle injury or a bone injury, right? We know exactly how long that takes to recover. But your head is just such a – there's just so much going on there that we don't know – we still don't know the amount of time needed for an individual person to recover, right? So – 5 months is a long time, and I'm sure he felt great during parts of that 5 months that he probably could come back. But he's just, it's like a boxer, right? A boxer who has just the most solid chin ever and can't be knocked out. Once they start to get knocked out, or they start to get a weaker chin, and it's the same for UFC fighters, those guys that could take tremendous amounts of shots earlier in their fighting careers, they're just more prone to the big knockout when they get tagged on the chin. And I would feel like concussions are the same way. And again, the only experience I can speak from is that I've had concussions, and I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but just the way that it feels, I think more time is always better when it comes to healing an injury like this.
Well, it's just crazy to think that, like, at the same time, if we're talking about running into next season, I mean, that's actually less time away than the time he just had off. So, I mean, what is enough time for Michael Ferland, you know?
Yeah, it's an open-ended question, I think, with any concussion.
It really is.
Whether it's Sidney Crosby, Michael Ferland, or whoever. But there's no easy way to transition. Let's chat about, we've got about 10 minutes or so less. Let's talk about Petey quickly, and maybe even Brock as well, and Markstrom to kind of end out our little post-game here. Let's start with Petey. Absolutely, he had a great game. He stood up for himself. He was a little chippy as well. I think playoff Pedersen. I like playoff Pedersen.
Yeah, he's playing a little harder than I was expecting him to. Like, I thought he was going to get he's definitely getting tossed around, but he's not complaining. He's he's working really hard. He's getting right back up, and he's still finding ways to be effective. So, I mean, we didn't get to see him score, but when that he tipped that little in front of the net right to Besser, that was totally intentional. It was just beautiful. So, very skilled player, and he's going to be just fine.
Ted.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out, Brady. That little tip definitely was to Besser. And you could tell, and anybody who's not watching that game that isn't a Canucks fan, I'm sure would say that was a complete accident. But any of us that get to see Petey play on the regular know that shit happens all the time, right? So, yeah, I like playoff Petey too. Like, he's kind of a dickhead. You know, he runs around a little bit. He doesn't complain. I don't even think I saw his gums flap even a little bit. I didn't even see that famous Petey smirk. But I did see him take a high stick in the face and then shove Hartman down. I did see him throw his weight around at Zach Parise on a penalty kill.
Man, he dumped Hartman. Dumped him.
He dumped him. He was good, right? I mean, he's not taking any shit. He's not going after guys, but he's going after guys a little bit in the corner there. But he's standing up for himself. That was something that I think the Twins got criticized for, huge amounts during the course of their careers, but that they wouldn't stand up for themselves, even though we all knew they were tough players. But Petey will go back at you a little bit. So, yeah, he looked good out there. He looked like the most dangerous Canuck, and I like how they were finally finding him on the power play for those one tees as well.
After he dumped Hartman and he's on the bench and they kept panning the camera back, and he's just he just had, like, it wasn't the death stare this time. It was just like he figured, like, I didn't do anything, and he just kept staring away like, guys, I didn't do anything. And he made it look like guilty, not guilty. And I'm just thinking, like, man, he has like a carelessness to him that I love. Like, usually he's pretty compassionate if there's some type of an injury and he knows that something bad happened. But in this case, like, no, screw that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see, too, like, he got pushed around a little too much. And I don't know if you heard, but I think the Canucks complained to the NHL about a couple non-calls in the first game. But Burke said, you know, he'd be getting some calls made. And fair enough, like, pretty much right out of the gate, you know, Pettersson gets that penalty called. So it's nice to see the refs kind of take notice because he's not bitching out there and he's playing super hard. But it's also good to see that he fights back. And I know, like, if Marchand comes along and tries to punch him in the face four or five times, he's not going to take that.
He's going to high stick him.
I will say, I know we don't have a ton of time left here, but it's very apparent to me that Kevin Fiala is still the most dangerous player in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Two games in a row, Petey included. So they're going to have to find an answer for him down the road. If that's, you know, Myers continuing to go after him and finding ways to not take penalties, to be physical with him. If that's Edler staying on him, I don't know what the plan is for that. But an answer for Kevin Fiala needs to be found in pretty short order because it's tough to outscore problems like that.
Myers has already taken so many penalties, we might as well take an absolute donkey of a penalty to take Fiala out of the series. So one quick thing left for me, and I'll let you guys kind of roll for a bit. Brock Besser's back. I love playoff Brock Besser. That dangle around Stalock that he should have scored and just at the very end was a Dumba that stole that away. Like, he's making some embarrassing plays, and I think now that he's got that first one, it's going to be dirty, dirty, dirty for Brock Besser. I can't wait.
You could see it when he scored, too, just the weight off his shoulders. He was so pumped, and I'm right there with you, Matt, I think. You know, that was his first goal since, like, what, January or something?
I yelled.
Like, 15 games, like 15, 16 games, mm-hmm. So big monkey off the back, and he's going to come back just as hard next game, man.
Huge goal. Huge goal. And he's going to get
more.
I
know we got a couple minutes, but would you guys want to run a quick dudes and guys for that game? Or
Brock Besser, there's my dude.
Sounds good to me.
Tyler Myers, there's my guy.
He was a definite. Yeah. Myers was a definite guy. Like, oh my God. Even share. I was upset with Tyler Myers.
You can share on this one.
Ted, yeah, if I'm gonna pick a dude for me, it's Markey. There was some severe struggles. That game could have got a little out of hand with a couple of early power plays right off the jump. To see him battle and fight through, and look shaky on the saves, but make some saves, right? And make some important saves too. So, yeah, there was you know, a couple of late goals, but we got ourselves into a position where we weren't lying specifically on Markstrom. So any of these kind of games are good games for him to continue to find that form that he had, you know, basically midseason form and season prior, to get back to that sort of upper echelon status. So watching him fight through this game was much needed to see some dangerous shooters and to make some big saves. So I just want to see that momentum keep rolling. Congratulations on your first win, Markstrom, and we'll kind of just go from there. If I'm going to pick a GOAT, it's not in a bad way, but the GOAT in this one for me has to be Michael Ferlin, and it's not because, you know, he played like crap or anything like that, but he wasn't really a part of this game again, and that's becoming a common theme. We've talked a lot about that, so, you know, best wishes to Furls, but you know, get healthy, buddy.
Brady, we got a minute.
Yeah, quick guy was obviously Myers, and my dude, Louis Erickson, 20 minutes plus one. He played well, and he's got a meme for that'll last the ages now. So
it's a beauty. Folks, this is the, I don't know, we started on game two, but this is a post-game PP1 podcast. We'll be back tomorrow night as well with a brand new episode. Kat Silverman from The Athletic. This has been fun, guys. Series tied up. Let's give her.
Hell yes. Go Canucks, go.
Peace out. Peace.